Welcome to Bethel Cleveland's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy today's message. For more information on this podcast or how to get connected, go to BethelCleveland.com.
We'll stand my ground.
Beautiful. I love that song. Just wait, stand up just for a minute. The origins of this song was Tom Petty, the major auto company in the United States, wanted to use one of his hit songs as for their commercial. And he said no. And a couple weeks later, his house burnt to the ground. And with him and his family in it, they escaped, but everything got destroyed. And he wrote this song after that. And I thought of it this morning. It came to me because this was my theme song when I walked through cancer almost 11 years ago. 11 years ago this month, I was in the middle of chemo. And that song, it's funny, I'm a product of the 70s, so I like Tom Petty, but the song is very anointed. It's powerful. It's a theme song that God's calling us, I think, to as individuals. That's why I wanted to play it today, that we're going to stand strong. We're not going to back down. Stand us up at the gates of hell. That's where we want to be, because the gates of hell will not prevail. And so I want to pray for you a minute, because I know a lot of people have been under stuff. And I've been running around a lot over the past few weeks talking to a lot of different people. So many people are just, there's an oppression that's coming out and just trying to spread over people's minds. We want to pray for one another right now before I share from the word. And let's do a bit of a deliverance session here. Let's break off the thoughts of I just need to go hide. I need to stay out of the limelight. I need to, just do what I need to do. I'm not wanting to speak up. I'm not going to be that person. We just want to break that off, because you are called absolutely to be the light of the world. God has called you to shine into this world, and it's going to take courageous, fearless people to do that. So lay a gentle hand on the person's shoulder next to you. Or if you know them, you can hold their hand. We'll allow that now. All right. So we rebuke that spiritual attack right now. We speak to your mind that you have the mind of Christ. Right now, those bad habits that were made during COVID, when we had a lot of downtime and thoughts were swirling through our heads, some of those even created strongholds in our mind. We break those strongholds in the name of Jesus right now. By his precious blood, we will overcome him, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we will not love our lives even unto death. I pray, Lord, for a martyr-like spirit to come upon this church, Lord, where we say, I'm going for Jesus my whole life, whatever it costs. We want to be disciples of Jesus. We want to be friends of Jesus. We want to be lovers of God. And I pray, Lord, that spirit will come upon every person in this room. The Holy Spirit, the powerful Spirit of God, will bring us into a new place in Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for that. You may be seated. Woo! Stand my ground. Hey, I was out in Reading a couple weeks ago, and they gave me all these free CDs. I don't listen to CDs. I do Spotify. But if you listen to CDs, you can come up. I'm going to lay these on the front here. And there's I'll lay them out. So Joel, can you lay them out right there across the front seats? They're all Bethel musicians from California. Great CDs. I know some of them. I've got some of them on Spotify. So check them out. If you want one, just come up. Look over them real quick. Take your pick. And they're yours. All right. Open your Bibles if you can. We got a short period of time here. Romans 1. I'm just feeling fearless lately, I think Janet Porter's got a hold of me or something, I like the more desperate the world gets, I'm just feeling this thing bubbling up inside of me like, ugh, you've awakened a sleeping giant. And it's a revival giant. I watched Jesus Revolution again the other night with Cindy while we were babysitting. And wow, I was stirred all over again. That may have been why the Tom Petty song came out, you know. But anyway, it stirred me all over again. I thought, this is all good. God is about to rise up against that. I still stand on the verse that the Lord gave me. It's been a while now and was refreshed right when the Israeli-Palestinian war broke out. And it was a scripture in Esther where it said that when Haman was building the gallows, yes, there was another word I was looking for, gallows, to hang Mordecai. It says, and suddenly everything turned around. It's right in scripture. It's like, wow, I like that. And suddenly everything turned around, or the opposite occurred. That's what it says in scripture. The opposite occurred. And when the opposite occurred was actually Haman and all of his supporters were hung on that gallows that he built for somebody else. And I don't know who's in it. I'm not a conspiratorial guy, but I believe there's people building gallows all over the world. And they've got intentions. They've got thoughts. We just need to push back in a righteous way. Prayer, fasting, reading the Word of God, raising up godly families, displant this in the name of Jesus Christ and see a powerful move of the Spirit move across the world. I read a book years ago, can't remember the name of it. It was great though. And it was about the Khmer Rouge in Vietnam and the, with the war that was there and everything else. And it was such a horrible war that just seemingly had no end. It went over a dozen years, and it was just a terrible wound on America. But anyway, this guy came out of there. He's actually in Cambodia, in Cambodia where the Khmer Rouge were. They killed like 200,000 people it was millions of people in a very short period of time. Devastation, war, and so he wrote this book because he was there in the midst of it. A revival broke out and hundreds of thousands of people throughout Cambodia came to Jesus Christ. So he wrote this book and pulled it together. This is like in the early 80s, late 70s, something like that. And he showed throughout history that when serious wars break out around the world, that it's a plow that's going into the ground and the Lord's about to plant a seed of revival. That out of those dramatic times comes a move of the Spirit. So I'm believing right now that seeds have been planted. The ground has been broken, and we're about to encounter a season, although difficult and challenging, amazing season of the Lord showing himself strong to people, and entire nations coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we agree with that, Lord, right now. We believe that we are in a season of renaissance, a season of reformation. We're in a season of being restored, and I pray for restoration in everyone today as we've come to celebrate this three-week period of test me in this. So open your Bibles to Romans 1:17, 1:16, and 1:17. And I'm just going to speak a few minutes, but we're going to take up an offering at the end, which I promised about a month ago, that we would do 3 weeks of tithing and giving and supporting, and then we'd have a large offering we would take up on this day at the end of the service. We have Joel, bring that up to me if you could. Sorry, it's good you're in the front row. I need someone to help me. Yes, look at this. Do you think we could fill this, Joel? It's hard to do when you pay online, you know.
I think so.
Okay, good. Okay, we're going to put it up here just as a reminder. We're going to put some money in that basket. We're going to give online and all the things, different ways that we do, text to give and everything else. If you haven't noticed, our property's been shifted out here, and it looks lovely out here. I'm so as lovely as a parking lot could look. It's looking really good. I've been here a lot during this whole time, and we've shaped out behind here this field that ultimately may be a building down the road. We believe there could be another building being built beyond this wall down the road. And so we flattened it out. The ground's been prepped for another building, but meanwhile, it's going to be a grassy field. And so kids can play out there. We can do a lot of different things, volleyball and all kinds of stuff. We put a huge mound over there on the freeway as a sound barrier, and it works really well. down there. It's blocked off a lot of the sound. It's probably the mound that we're going to put the cross on. We're getting a cross built. We're trying to get it 30 feet up. So we're going to see what happens and see what the highway people allow us to do. And we want to make it lit up for the freeway. So we're working on that. We've got a sign on the bottom side of the building. We've also, over here, we've got the new parking lot that is almost done. They got some more gravel to spread. Don't drive down in there yet because there is a ledge on one side. Your car could disappear. But next week, we'll be able to drive down there and you can look around or whatever. Also, the moat, we call it the moat, the swale down there. EPA required that nice $35,000 swale. We put in there, it's working fine with the rain yesterday. And actually it looks kind of beautiful. Grass has been planted all down there and all up this side over here. And over here I don't think I have the exact mount. We are planting, if you see these holes over in the mounds, these giant holes, it's not a groundhog problem. We have I think 25 trees coming. They're gonna be planted there all down Carpenter Road on our property. And it's going to be stunning. These are going to be like bright orange in the fall. And we're putting them in now. We've got a guy who's putting them in. We've also got a little segment of some other things that are going to be up around the sign out here. And this offering today is going toward that. Over this past week, we've had some good-sized checks coming in the mail. And we're somewhere around, I think we're around 15% of this already being paid for. So we thank the Lord for that, very thankful for that. And some people promised other funds, you know, because of end of the year stuff. This is end of the year, if you haven't noticed. Thanksgiving's this week, Christmas is coming very soon, and boom, we're in 2024. So it's coming up quick, and end of the year giving is very important to us. We encourage you, continue to give even after today, but at the end of the meeting, we're gonna pray together. I really bless everyone on this Thanksgiving Day. Thank the Lord in advance for everything that he's purposed for this property and all the things he's gonna do in the days ahead. So thank you very much for being a part of that. Thank those of you who stepped up. Our offering last Sunday was, let me think. I'm very good at math. Just give me a second. It was up 30%. Last week. So those are tithers that are stepping up. Test me in this. I've been getting, people are coming up to me today with testimonies. In fact, Kat, where are you? Stand up just a minute. Kat's been going to the Philippines and they planted churches over there. They've got groups of people. They're working with pastors. Amazing things. It wasn't our original intention. I don't think we've had time together to go over there. And the Lord opened this door up. She's going again this Thursday, right? Tuesday. And you're staying through Christmas, is that right?
40 days.
Good number. Staying 40 days, and already she's got more than twice what she needed financially coming in. And you had a debt forgiven or something? Credit cards debts were forgiven. Wow. Let's thank the Lord for that. Woo! By the way, stretch out your hand toward her. We bless her in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray for the Philippines. Lord, we pray that this seed that is being planted, Lord, will bring great fruit, Lord God. Great fruit, hundredfold fruit. The soil is ready and we speak to it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Kat. Let us know. Email me. Let me know what's going on. Test me in this. I love that whole concept, you know, and the Lord's been speaking it to me for a while. He said, test me in this. And literally it says in that scripture in Malachi, see if there's gold. That's what it literally means. Test me in this and see, in other words, it's the fire that comes in that purifies gold. There's something about when we tithe, again, this is not a requirement from heaven. This is not something that gives you first class seating in heaven or premium economy. This doesn't give you any of that. This just, what it does is it's a principle in the kingdom of God that the Lord said, only time in scripture that I've found, he said, try it out. Test me in this. And a tithe is a tenth. Leviticus says that the tithe is the Lord's. You give that tithe and see what happens. So the past four Sundays, we've been talking about this and the stories are rolling in and people are being blessed with it. And I pray more stories continue to roll in. Thank you for those of you who've engaged in tithing. It changes our future dramatically, and we appreciate it. But going down here, we're going to Romans 1. I was hit this week. I was rereading a book that recently came out about John Wimber. I don't know if any of you know John Wimber, who he was, but he passed away, I think it was in 97. He's pretty much seen as one of the most significant spiritual leaders of the second half of the last century. And I had the opportunity to be a friend of his, to be with him on multiple occasions, including a retreat in Western Canada with about six of us. I went out and hung out with him a few days, amazing time. The guy was so, Bill Johnson reminds me a lot of John Wimber. He founded the Vineyard Movement, and I was a part of the Vineyard Movement, a leader in Canada, over the eastern part of Canada for a number of years. And so we love Wimber. We love the Vineyard. I have many, many friends in the Vineyard Movement. But this latest book that came out about his life was about something else that I got the opportunity to be involved in, which was the severing of a group of Vineyard churches in Ontario, Canada. And it's a notorious thing in the Vineyard history, and the Holy Spirit was moving powerfully in Toronto, and Toronto was attracting, it attracted 2 million people in 5 years. So think about that. And I was there in the early days when the Holy Spirit visited there, April of 94, and fortunately got swept up in traveling worldwide with 29 other people and going into places we'd never been before with thousands of people and preaching, but it wasn't the preaching that was touching people. It was the ministry of the Spirit in the time after. It's funny how God moves in different ways over the seasons of life. And here I am in a little church in Eastern Canada, 250 people. We're standing in front of thousands of people. In Japan, we probably had about 600-700 pastors come together. I didn't even know there were that many pastors in Japan. But and the power hitting them and them being falling on the floor. And it was so easy. I mean, I went through about probably a decade or more of the easiest ministry of my life. In fact, it was just, you show up, and the mystical, mysterious words were, "More, Lord. Mas, Señor. More, Lord." I mean, you could go up to someone and say, "More, Lord," and boom, the power of God would hit. God was just on the more at that time. And so we witnessed all that anyway. It got controversial because of just the dynamic of what was happening. The Vineyard was a bit uncomfortable with it, so they cut out almost all of Ontario. And I missed that meeting because I was down in Brownsville at a revival that was going on there. What a glorious time it was in the mid-90s there, you know. And so he later on, it's caused huge controversy. I was split, actually, because I was in the Vineyard, but I loved Wimber. I joined the Vineyard. He actually allowed my church to stay in Eastern Canada, and all my friends in Ontario got booted out, and I was writing for Toronto's magazine, but I was a part of the Vineyard, and it was a very awkward time. And when I came in the United States, actually, the Vineyard wouldn't take me in the United States, so this was going to be a Vineyard church when we started. And the Lord had a different path for us. I'm just telling you all that because now the story is being written about the latter days of John Wimber as he was dying. And Wimber was a kind of a passive Quaker, very evangelical, but what he would call empowered evangelical. He kind of danced between charismatic and evangelical world. And it turns out that's not a great place to dance. And he passed away. But here's what he said. This is gripping to me, and I hope it means something to you. This book that was written, and it was approved by the family of John Wimber, he said he was asked to take a risk by God on Toronto. In the highest forms of the controversy over the Toronto Airport Vineyard, which is what it was called, John Arnott and Mark DuPont, and a lot of my friends that were from there, in the midst of that, his inability to take a risk for them and cutting them out. This was his dying lament. He said, "I said no to God 3 times. He believed that was why he was dying. He said, "I have too much to lose. That's what he told God. "I have too much to lose. He says this, imagining that here I am, John Wimber, the man that coined the phrase, you spell faith, R-I-S-K. And I looked God in the face and said, I have too much to lose. And I read that, and maybe because I know the people involved, you know, I know what happened. I was in the midst of the whole thing, and my great admiration for John Wimber. And yet even somebody that is at that level in their faith, which he was, he prayed for 1,000 people before he saw one healing. Imagine that. That's pretty persevering. But after that 1,000, it started bubbling up everywhere. I've been in crowds of thousands of people where Wimber would stand up. He was so casual. He was just 1960s casual, you know. He was a musician with the Righteous Brothers. He was their producer. And he just, he'd stand up front, close his book, and say, it's clinic time, which was his sign that we're going to practice moving in the Holy Spirit. And he would just wait. He'd wait like 10 minutes. It was eerily quiet and awkward, you know. And all of a sudden, like a river of the glory of God would shoot through the room of thousands of people. And there'd be like one person in each row that would all of a sudden start laughing at the same time. And Wimber was unmoved by it. He would just go, okay, God's doing something over here. He'd wait longer. And before you know it, the whole room is just filled with the presence and the glory of God. So he's that guy. But when it came to this huge crisis, he said, I said no to God's face 3 times because I couldn't afford to lose that. So it gripped me. You know, it was the second time I read it in 6 months, and it's had the same power each time. And so I totally respect and appreciate John Wimber, but thank the Lord right now, we have a chance to learn from other people's mistakes and be able to say and look at God and say, regardless of what it takes, amen, we're going to move ahead. We're going to move ahead. I met with Yuri Hirschberger down at from Apple Creek. He said something to me this week. He said, he told me about all his life and all the things he's been through. And, you know, we all get into places where you just want to, you want to rest. You want to lay back. You don't want to, you know, I don't want to bother anyone. I don't want the conflict. I don't want the crisis. You get to that point. And I think there is a time you do need to take seasons for that. But we don't want to get to the time where we just cool down, shut up, and hide away. Because he's called us as a people of faith, a people that are to take a stand, lift our voice, and declare some things. And so this verse came to me when I was studying Thursday, Romans 1:16, in thanksgiving to the Lord, in thanksgiving to this week that in America we actually have a day called Thanksgiving. We can thank the Lord for all that he's done and begin thanking him for what he's promised. It's an amazing thing when you thank the Lord for what he's spoken, but what has not come to pass yet. I got some questions for you. I wrote them down on my phone here. Let me bring them out my last 8 minutes here. Let's see. Let's talk among yourselves. Let's see. Yeah, this is it. What does faith to faith look like in you? The Bible talks about that we move from faith to faith. It actually says from hope to hope, from glory to glory. That it speaks of a journey. It speaks of something that is not just a one-time event, but it's kind of like a daily I do in a marriage. You know, when you go through the vows in a marriage, you're basically saying, it's astounding that we go through this. The only problem with the vows are that we do not understand the power of vows that you make out of your mouth, or we probably wouldn't use them because it's a two-edged sword. But when you vow that for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, how many of you know that's one of the best days in your life you're vowing that? Your wedding day. It's easy to say, oh yeah, it's every day. I'm gonna get up, breakfast in bed, I'm gonna make it for you. I'm gonna call you sweetheart. I was in a diner the other day and I was called baby doll, sweetheart. It's still out there, you know, it's still out there. It's just crazy. Yeah, anyway, what does faith to faith look like? What does a daily commitment to Christ look like through your life? And what does God do in that daily commitment to test us, to carry us along through that commitment? If you've been married a long time, you know, you resign, resign and resign are very similar. Resign is giving up. Resign is we're going to continue to go forward. I'm resigning. I'm going to keep doing this. In a marriage, you'll do that hundreds of times. Maybe, if you're married long enough, thousands of times. You say, I'm re-upping. We had a disagreement. We had a challenge. I didn't understand what you were saying. Guys, always learn. I'm sorry.
Praise God.
What are you leaning into? How are you leaning into the answer to that question? Faith to faith. How are you doing with that? What is God working on in your life right now? So I want to read this passage right here. Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let's all repeat that if we could. Ready? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, that's the Greek word for dynamite, that we give dynamite. It's the explosive power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone. That's why when Tommy Zito was here and people were worried about the script that you got, you know, and oh shoot, how am I gonna do this? And I'm going out in public and I probably need to have this memorized. And no, just read the script. Why was he so casual about the script? The reason he's so casual about the script just contained an understanding of the gospel. That's really what it was. So you're sharing the gospel. So he knows that it's not in your eloquence that's going to win this person over. In fact, a lot of people stammered through. I got totally lost. You know, I'm talking to a young guy and it's like, oh shoot, where was I now? I mean, I know the gospel, but I was trying to follow the rules here, stay within the line. But what Tommy knows that it's not in the preciousness of your communication. It is actually something upon the message and the narrative of the gospel that is powerful from God that actually transforms people's thinking. So you trust the gospel. You trust that what you're sharing is planting a seed in someone's heart. That's faith. That's faith. And God's called us to move from faith to faith. And so actually in evangelism, when you're speaking out to other people, you are moving from faith to faith. You're encountering people. I've already encountered people where I just, you know, I didn't feel like talking to people, right? I didn't want to, it wasn't about Jesus. It's just, I don't really want to talk to them, you know? Or you're sitting by them on a plane or whatever, you know? It's just, this is me time right here, you know? And the Lord would speak to me and say, well, like, you talk to this person. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like John Wimber a little bit, like, you know, tomorrow maybe. They may not have tomorrow. I told you a story a few weeks ago. A guy I won to the Lord years back. Guy who was far from God. He came to Jesus. And he came to Jesus not because of my eloquence of word. I was actually frustrated at him. It was like I was preaching the hell side of the gospel. Do you know if you don't repent, you're going to spend eternity in hell? That's a real kind of caring, easy way to win someone over to Jesus, you know? But it struck him. And he said, I need help. He was an older guy, probably my age back then. He's an older guy. And I said, well, then you need to do this. Like no smoothness, because I was frustrated at the things he was telling me about his life. And I was just like I was barking this out to him. And by the grace of God, he gave his heart to the Lord. And that night, getting up in the middle of the night, trying to find the restroom, he stumbled down the steps and died instantly. And that has forever hung in my head. Because I resisted speaking the gospel to this guy, but finally I gave in and did just because it was out of an attitude. But even out of a bad attitude, you share the gospel, and the gospel somehow separates from you personally, goes into this person's life, and does the thing that it does. It breaks strongholds. You know, the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing that's on the gospel breaks the thinking that are in people's minds, and it opens the door for the gospel to have power. Now look at the next verse, verse 17. For in it, what's the it? Yeah, the gospel unto salvation. The power of the gospel, the dynamite of the gospel, the power of the gospel unto salvation. He says, in it, the righteousness of God. A lot of people say that word righteous, they have no idea what it means. It's just right standing, but the right standing of God. Here's the technical definition of it. The right divine approval of God. The right divine approval of God is revealed. An interesting Greek word that they use there, apocalypse. The revelation, the revealing. I was talking to someone out of the church this week, and we were talking about information and revelation. I said, actually, revelation is information also. There's information in heaven, there's information on earth. When you tap into the information of heaven, that's called revelation. And that revelation is, that information is a lot more powerful than the information we have down here. This is the wisdom of man. This is the wisdom of God up here. That's why we wait in his presence. That's why we pray. That's why we read scripture, because we get information from heaven. And when it's revealed from faith to faith, so in it, salvation reveals the righteousness of God. Here's my theory on this. The faith to faith is us moving by the power of the gospel that reveals the righteousness of God. In other words, you were opened up every time you move in faith. Something opens up over you where you understand your sonship and your daughtership.
It's true.
You understand that you're right in God. I mean, you can see, like I was watching a Jordan Peterson video the other day where Dennis Prager was kind of praising Jordan Peterson, kind of spoke, he's supposedly the world's number one psychiatrist now, but Prager's speaking over him. Prager starts out great. Jewish student, really teacher of the Torah, Dennis Prager, and he is changing culture and society even as we speak, you know. So he's going into the goodness of, now I know Jordan Peterson from the videos I've watched, that's it. He doesn't like to be praised in any way. And so you got this calm Jewish man speaking over him that the good, he says, I'm 100% accurate with spotting people that have goodness in their heart, he says, and you have it. Jordan Peterson's like, he's just squirming over there in his seat because I know, oh, he's not going to like that. He doesn't like to think he's good. And he goes into his half-crying thing that he does where he's like, well, I have some trouble with that in that I think it's better for me not to think about my goodness but to meditate on the potential I have for evil. Because in the potential I have for evil, it keeps me on the right road moving forward. Now, he's a smart man. You know what I thought, though? I thought, what a hellish way to live. I want to be able to move in my life knowing that God loves me. And his love is much more than what I can even imagine. My eye has not even seen, my ear's not even heard the things that God has for me. That if I ask for a fish, he will not give me a serpent. If I ask for bread, he will not give me a stone. How much more, much more, everyone say much more will he give to his children? And so when you realize I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, I'm a child of God, and my father likes me, that's like a real release. So every time, think about this, according to the scripture, every time you move in faith, faith to faith, and by the way, every one of you is being challenged in faith right now in your life. There's something in your life where you're like, I don't know. It happened to me last year. I was invited to go to South Africa, and I wanted to go. I've always wanted to go to South Africa, but I when I looked at how many hours I had to spend in an airplane, I think it was 17 or 18. I've done it before, but I was in my 30s when that happened, 30s and 40s. But now in my 60s, it's just not as attractive to me anymore. It's like, I don't think so. And so I do like everyone. I was like, that's not God. The Lord wouldn't want me to sit. If the Lord wants me to go, he'd give me business class at least. But I knew I wasn't going to get that because I saw the price on it, you know, so I thought, maybe premium economy, you know? And I thought, well, could I stand that long? Finally, I told Joseph Garlington, I said, no, I can't come. I'm not sure I can make that trip right now. He said, okay, that's fine. I said, keep me in mind in the future, you know. And as soon as it was over, by the way, leading up to that, the Lord gave me multiple confirmations that I was supposed to go, including Toto with Africa playing on the radio over and over again. Down in Africa. I was like, oh, all right. I can't, so I didn't go. It has haunted me ever since, you know. It happened to me twice this year. I turned down. One was Taiwan and one was South Africa just because of the flight. I didn't want to go. I'm not ill. I'm actually in good shape. When they ask for strong people to help afterwards, I mean, I thought I qualify. I can't do it, but I qualify to do the Christmas decorations, you know. I'll take one of those trees up on my back. So that's not the problem. What is it? The problem is up here. It's right up there. And I wonder how many things you are facing right now where the Lord is inviting you into, and it's something that you either don't want to do or you don't think you can do or you're not quite ready yet. Or, you know, you can live your entire life in shrinking back. But we are called because of the power of the gospel that every time, actually, you moving in faith on this is going to open the heavens over your life, and you're going to understand at a deeper level, it's going to be revealed to you, the righteousness of God. You know, the Bible says we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you get that in your head, I'm not talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about spiritual knowledge, like knowing God. When it gets into your head, you are transformed the rest of your life. And you're going to move into deeper and deeper understanding, which causes you to trust God more and move in faith into things that are wild and crazy you didn't think you'd ever do, planting churches in the Philippines, not on your bucket list, but there you are doing it. What happens? Grace, favor, love, and mercy opens up as we step in faith. We're putting a parking lot in. We're stepping in faith. We're going to build facilities. We're stepping in faith. We bring people in to train us in evangelism. We're stepping in faith. This is one promise I can make to you. In 2024, I want to stretch you more than you've ever been stretched in your life. I want to challenge you. It's good. That was a bit of a golf clap, but we'll let it go. You know, so. It's beautiful, beautiful, yes. Whatever you need, just let me know. I'm not available this week, but just let me know. Maybe next week, let me know. Email me. Oh, no, I can't next week. I forgot about it. After the first year, we'll talk. After the first year. I hear this stuff all the time. I think, man, you're missing out. When you yield in faith to what God has before you, this could be a secular thing that God is using. It could be an advancement in your job. Oh, I don't want to go above the level that I'm at. Well, maybe he does. Then I'd have big responsibility. Maybe he wants you to go there. And I have to talk and deal with people all the time. I'm actually making a pretty good income where I am. I'm not going to do that. That's a no, no, no. Heard about Wimber, what he said? I wouldn't do that. So you look at scripture here, and it's very powerful. As he says, you move from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So in summary, you live by faith. Opportunities come up every day. I'm told we make... Is it 1,100, I believe? I read this week. 1,100 choices a day. Which socks, you know, what you're going to look like. 1,100 choices. No wonder it's so exhausted by the end of the day. And those 1,100 choices are going to be things that stretch your faith. Are you going to step into that? Or are you going to back off? Let's all stand up together if we could. Okay, we're going to take up an offering. This is a faith offering. Jay, if you're in here, if you can come up. And join me for this because I do need to go up to Middleburg. But if we can get Tom Petty ready to go there. Up here, seed offering in person, checks payable to Bethel Church. This is all parking lot. It's above and beyond our tithe. Give online, BethelCleveland.com. Choose the code parking lot. It's a little confusing there because over here in text to give, it's parking. All right, so just parking. So you'd put parking, if you text to give with a space, and an amount of money. And I'd like everyone to do something. If you give $1, I want you to be in on this. That may buy a handful of gravel. I don't know, but it's something. It is. And we're going to put this basket up here, and we're going to play Tom Petty. And once you give in here, you can leave. Or if you don't have any money on you, which I don't actually. I never carry cash. But if you don't have any money, we take IOUs. You can write it down and just drop it in there. And a lot of you are going to actually give online. That's fine. We love that. It's great for everybody. But I want you to come up and act like you're putting something in just for the tactile activation of giving. Sometimes you do it online, it becomes very ordinary. There is something about seeing that money released. So even if you're giving online, I encourage you to do it. We're going to ask you to just come down, drop it into this basket. Everything that comes in here is going toward the parking lot. We'll report next week what we've got totally. And I want to pray over you. I want to pray there's going to be a release. Do it in faith, though. Stretch yourself in faith and say, we're doing this for the purposes of God. And Lord, I need heaven to open up. And so, Lord, I pray right now for revelation of the righteousness of God to come upon this congregation, Lord, as we give in this faith offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to play the Tom Petty song, probably the first in America to do that during an offering. God bless you. See you this week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to our sermon of the week. You can help us reach others by investing today at bethelcleveland.com/give.